Translation. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The conditioned souls within the clutches of the illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world. But they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest peace formula is simply this. Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. Men should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord, because He is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. No one is greater than He. He is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. In the Vedas, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6-7, the Supreme Lord is described as Tamishvaranam Paramam Maheshwaram. Under the spell of illusion, living entities are trying to be lords of all they survey, but actually, they are dominated by the material energy of the Lord. The Lord is the master of material nature, and the conditioned souls are under the stringent rules of material nature. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in the world, either individually or collectively. This is the sense of Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna is the supreme predominator, and all living entities, including the great demigods, are His subordinates. One can attain perfect peace only in complete Krishna consciousness. So anything less than total subordination and surrender to Krishna will result in conflict. Individually and collectively. Sometimes the example is given that if there is a clear pond and the stone is thrown, then the ripples will come. Will continue to come. And if we throw another stone in another place, then the ripples of the two stones will clash. But if we throw stones in the same place, big or small, it doesn't matter, then the ripples will be harmonious coming out. So, this is the way things are designed, that everyone can be peaceful if they have the same center. And we can be peaceful if we accept the way things are supposed to be. Just like in the body, I can have good health if I feed the stomach, if I give food to the mouth. But if I try to give food to each of the parts of the body, first the ears, the nose, the hands, the feet, then the health of the body will not be good. It will destroy the health of the body. Because that's not the system. So someone may become... Is everyone understanding? over here. So someone may become irritated. Why is this the system? Maybe it could be another way. But Krishna is the Supreme, and we have to submit. If he is the Supreme, then he can decide how it's supposed to be. Some people just don't want to accept this. They want to fight, like Hiranyakashipu. He did not want to accept that Vishnu was supreme. He wanted to present himself as supreme. So there was a fight between himself and Lord Nrisimhadev. I guess you could call it a fight. Lord Nrisimhadev certainly didn't have any difficulty defeating Hiranyakashipu. It was more like the fight between a big strong cat and a little mouse. If you call that a fight, you call that a fight? It's not much of a fight. The cat doesn't have any difficulty. The cat may play with the mouse. Sometimes the cat likes to play with the mouse, taking him in the mouth and letting him out again, letting him run, then catch him. This is the nature of a cat. But Lord Nrisimhadev, he also, the half cat, big cat, lion, not a singha, half man, half lion. So lion is also a cat. But he had that tendency. He sometimes let Hiranyakashipu run. And Hiranyakashipu wanted to attack him again. Just like a mouse attacking a cat. What is the value of a mouse attacking a cat? It's useless. So, no one is equal to Krishna, Asamurdva. No one is greater than him. He's the greatest. That's just the way it is. It doesn't matter whether we like it or we don't like it or we accept it or we agree with it. That's the reality. It's not really even a philosophical point. Sometimes people say, well, yes, that's your opinion, that's your religion. It's not opinion, it's not religion. It's just a fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one can equal him. And therefore, we might as well just accept it. And be happy. Because if we accept it, we can be happy. We have to be practical also. Let's take the point of view that maybe there's some other philosophy, but the practical situation is that if we don't accept Krishna as the Supreme and we try to fight, then we won't be happy. We see the people who are trying to do that. Are they happy? If they're happy, then why are we here? We are here because we see that they're not happy. And we also, some of us have experienced that we can't be happy trying to do that either. Because what is the result of all of our roaring and self aggrandizement. What is the result of it? Of our attempting to acquire more and more material things, to enjoy, to conquer others. What's the result? The result is, imperceptibly, our glorious body becomes a shriveled up prune, and finally it stops working. It's very disheartening, very humiliating. In fact, it's so humiliating, you may have heard of, there was a movie, Tarzan. So the original Tarzan, he was also a famous, Johnny Weissmuller, he was a famous swimmer also. So, about maybe 12, 15 years ago, he was still alive. But he was very old. So he wouldn't allow anyone to take his picture when he became old. If they would try to take his picture, he would become angry. And finally, someone took his picture just before he died. And they asked him, what did he think of life? And he said it was hellish. Then they showed a picture of him in the newspaper when he was young as Tarzan, and then when he was old and he was horrible looking. So this is what happens. Even if you're as powerful as Tarzan, you can swing from tree to tree, enjoying different types of sense enjoyment. Time will come, it'll all be collapsed. Everything will be finished. All of your pride, your proud acquisitions, it'll all be finished. But Krishna, we never see Krishna getting old. We never see Krishna becoming subjected to disease or time. Krishna is ever youthful. Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam adhyam purana purusham navad yovanamcha. So he's eternally youthful, fresh, fresh youth, never grows old. So, bhoktaram yagya tapasam. Bhoktaram means the beneficiary or the enjoyer. All the sacrifices are meant to please Vishnu, yagyavai Vishnu. The demigods know this, therefore they perform the yagyas. To please Lord Vishnu, and the rishis, the saintly persons, they know this, that Vishnu has to be worshipped. Because Vishnu, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Vishnu is everything. Vasudeva is everything. Krishna is everything. The demigods are just parts, like the limbs of the Lord. So one should not think that if I offer something sacrificed to the demigods, that is as good as offering to Krishna. It won't have the effect. Just as if you offer some food to your ear, it won't satisfy the ear or the rest of the body. So, Bhoktaram Yogatapasam. He's the enjoyer. Everything is meant for his enjoyment. Now this is amazing. If you consider this, because we have been raised from the time we were little children, little babies, that we were the enjoyer. That everything was meant for our enjoyment. We teach the little baby here, eat this. The baby eats. Says, are you happy now? Baby, yes, smiles. We rattle in front of the baby, and the baby smiles. So the baby begins to think, obviously I'm the enjoyer. Obviously. Because everyone's trying to give me things to satisfy me. So the baby thinks, from the very beginning, that he is the enjoyer of everything. He grows up, a little child, he also thinks he's an enjoyer. And this same consciousness is perpetuated throughout his life. He's always, whenever he sees something or perceives something, he thinks, this is for my enjoyment. As a baby, he puts it in his mouth. And as he gets a little older, then he says, I want that. He cries. Must have it. Candy. They go into the store. I must have this. So he's thinking, I'm the enjoyer and I'm this body. But actually, we're not the body and we're not the enjoyer either. Krishna is the enjoyer and everything should be offered to him for his pleasure. Everything that I do should also be to please him. I should give everything I do to him. This is a completely different way of looking at things. Instead of thinking, will this give my body pleasure? Will this give my senses gratification? We should be thinking, will this activity please Krishna? So this, then, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Wow. This is a big mistake that people have. They think that they're the owners. This is my house, this is my bank balance, my car, my this, my that. They really think that they're the owners. Even countries, whole groups of people get together and think, this is our country. This land is my land. This land is your land. We have a song in America also. This land is my land, this land is your land. From, I don't know, from one part of the country to the other part. What is it? Yeah, yeah, from California to New York. It's your land, it's my land. In Israel, they had a song also. This land is mine. God gave this land to me. So that now they're always fighting over this land. Because someone else, they thought that God gave the land to them. So they're fighting. No, God gave it to me. They're fighting all the time over the land. So the conclusion is that the land doesn't belong to any of us. That solves the problem. It doesn't belong to you and it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Father, to Krishna. He says here, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. I'm the Lord of all the planets and the demigods. I'm the owner. So stop your fighting and just share. Just like parents do that if they have two little children and the two little children are scratching each other's eyes out over some little toy. Because each one thinks it's theirs. And So the parent comes and says, no, stop this fighting. First you use it for a little while, and then you use it for a little while. Okay. Then they get along and they stop fighting. They find that it's nicer. because they realize it doesn't belong to either one, but they can share it. They can use it. And that's the way Krishna has arranged. Everyone can use everything because it belongs to the Father, and he's happy that his sons are using it. He doesn't mind. He wants them to use it. But don't abuse it. Don't. It's like some people. The other day we were, where were we? Hanumanta? We were someplace and they asked the question, why is it that if God is providing for all the living entities, why we see some people are starving? So somewhere they said that. So yes, that may be possible. It's not God's fault, however. He's supplied sufficiently. But if one of the children takes the other's portion and hoards it, and then doesn't allow the other child, the weaker child, to eat, then he can do that. The Father gives some free will. So we have the opportunity to do that. We can kill our little brothers if we like. It's like we're doing it with the cows, the bulls, all over the world. Thousands are being killed. They're our little brothers. But God has given us free will to kill them or to at least destroy their bodies. So, that's not good. That's not what God wants. The Father doesn't want that, but He gives us that choice. That little bit of free will we have. But if we do it, then we suffer. And we cause anxiety and suffering to others. But that's the material world. This is the way things are here. We are the ones who are the criminals. Just like how come we don't hear in the newspapers very often that, you know, inside the prison there was a fight. There's fights all the time in the prison. Every day there's fighting going on in the prison. But we're not very surprised, because after all, these are people that broke the law to get in there. So it's not surprising that they're going to break the law some more. And they're going to call each other ill names. Well, we expect that. This is the material world. We're the ones that have rebelled against Krishna. No, I'm not going to surrender. Never! I'm going to enjoy separately. Even if I have to leave the spiritual world, it doesn't matter. I'll create my own spiritual world. Where I'm the supreme, where I'm the enjoyer. I'm tired of serving Krishna. So, he's also very renounced. He's not attached if you don't want to serve him, and he'll let you go to the material world. And here we are, trying to own everything, trying to enjoy everything, and on top of everything else, suridam sarva bhutana, we want to be the best friend of everyone as well, the benefactor. Yes. We want to maintain all the others, that everyone should like us. We want to be very popular. So it's an incompatible situation. On one hand, we want to own everything. So we own everything, no one else owns everything. Or anything. We own it all. That's the first thing. And we want to enjoy everything. Everyone is supposed to work for us. Everyone is meant for our enjoyment. And then after all that, we want everyone to like us too. It doesn't work like that in the material world. There's only one person who can do that. And that's Krishna. He can own everything, he can enjoy everything, and still he can be loved by everyone. Only Krishna can do that. Anyone else who tries doesn't work. And there's so much fighting because you have one imitation God who's trying to enjoy something, and then another imitation God wants to enjoy the same thing, so they fight. So this is how we can become peaceful ourselves. This is the peace formula. If we recognize this, and we give up the attempt to enjoy separately from Krishna, if we give up the attempt to own anything, if we give up the attempt to be very popular in this world, to care what others think, to try to win their approval. No. Just please Krishna, serve Krishna, then we're peaceful. As long as we try to hold on to anything in this material world, then we will have to be in anxiety about that thing. So therefore, akinchana gochara. Krishna is very much attracted to those who are akinchana, who have no possessions. That doesn't just mean that one has no money or no house or anything, but it means that one realizes that it doesn't belong to him, that it belongs to Krishna. So then, if one is that type of akinchana, he can even live in the most valuable jewel palace, but he knows this is not belonging to me, it belongs to Krishna. I'm just here as Krishna's servant. So then he's also a akinchana. And so many of our acharyas have shown that. Sometimes we may be in an opulent situation, and sometimes we may have nothing. But in either case, a devotee is satisfied. He's equal in happiness or distress, gain or loss, victory or defeat, wealth or poverty. These things don't mean anything to him because he's in Vaikuntha. What is their poverty in Vaikuntha? Or what is their opulence, material opulence? And there's no material opulence or poverty in Vaikuntha. There's no material good or bad in Vaikuntha. There's no material fame or infamy. Does it matter? If you're in Vaikuntha, does it matter if the people of, you know, your hometown think that you're a square or something? Sometimes we become so concerned what people think, what the public will think of us. Oh no, they'll think that if they see me with a shaved head, they'll think that I'm, you know, weird. Does it matter if you're in Vaikuntha what the people of Hamburg think? They may think that you're weird. Does it matter? Does it? No. Just like if you walk by some street and some dogs bark, does it disturb you that they bark at you? No, it doesn't matter. They're just dogs. Don't think, well, maybe I shouldn't dress like this. The dogs are barking. You know, I feel a little self-conscious. The dogs are... It doesn't matter whether the dogs are barking. It doesn't matter what people think in this world. Because everyone here is crazy anyway. It's an insane asylum. Do you believe that? Do you believe that everyone here is insane? Or do you think there's actually some sense? If you don't believe it's insane, then you're one of them also. You also are part of this. If we think that this material world is a place where sane people are, and actually there's very good, you know, there's good shows on TV tonight. Tonight, good shows. And there's very good television programs, very good educational system, very good family arrangement, very good government. As long as we think that these things are sane and very well and nicely organized, and there's some value in them, then we're also part of the insanity. We too are members of the asylum, the insane asylum. We have to realize that except for Krishna consciousness, everything is insanity. Why insanity? Well, what is the definition of insane? The first definition is the person doesn't know who he is. Do you agree? If he's insane, he's out of his mind. It means he doesn't know what's happening, he doesn't know who he is, what he's doing, why he's doing things, he just does crazy things. Don't you think that our society qualifies? Do you think that what we're doing makes any sense? Polluting the water, the rivers that could supply us fresh water, we pollute it with industrial waste? This is not insane? Murdering our own babies? This is not insane? Killing and eating our mother and our father in the form of the cow and the bull. This is not insane. And there's many more. The list goes on and on and on. Smoking? Smoking is not insane. Everyone knows you get lung cancer. It's not a secret. They put it on the pack even. They say, the Surgeon General has determined that cigarette smoking will cause lung cancer, it'll hurt your baby inside your womb if you're pregnant, there's so many other things. But we smoke, we pay to smoke. This is not insane. We drink alcohol, become, you know, intoxicated, and then we drive and have accidents with other people. This is not insane. So many, everything that they're doing in the material world is insane. Even something so innocent as having sex. They're having fun sex. That's also insane. In so many ways. So, if you analyze, and you have to analyze, because if you don't analyze, then you'll be drawn back by the insanity. You'll be drawn back to the asylum. You have to analyze very carefully. Every single thing that we do in this material world is insane. So, what to do? Stop acting. So the impersonalists, they say, the conclusion is, don't do anything. Stop your senses. That doesn't work. You can't stop them. They're here. They're reality. The impersonalists try to say they don't exist. They're not real. Jagan mithya. They're false. They don't exist. This universe does. Nothing exists. The universe does. Only Brahman exists. They try to. That's it. In their minds, they think now. I realize that none of this exists, that I'm Brahman, only I exist, the Brahman, this is all false. Vimuktimanina. In their minds they're liberated. Arya Krishna Param Param Tata Patantito Nadvito Yushmaranga. Yenye Ravindaksha Vimuktimanina. Tvayastabhavad avishuddha buddha, but their intelligence is impure. This is not correct. It's not that everything here is false. That's incorrect intelligence. Everything here is real, but it's temporary. So, instead of trying to stop acting, we need to learn how to act properly, purely, spiritually. And for that, we need a spiritual master. Everyone needs a spiritual master. I need a spiritual master. You need a spiritual master. Everyone needs a spiritual master to teach us how to act. Even Arjuna needed a spiritual master. Shishasteham sharimam vam prapanam. So he accepted, my dear Krishna, please, you be my spiritual master. And the spiritual master will show us how to act in this world without becoming insane. Alright, thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai.